Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. And now, a quote, real Mangria testimonial.
Hi, I'm Mitch. All my life I've been a little guy, and by little guy, I mean it. I'm legally a dwarf. That was until I had my first taste of Adam Carolla's Mangria. Once I cracked open that beautiful bottle of original orange, I knew my life would change. I used to stand at 4'4", but after I got down to the bottom of my first bottle, I shot straight up to 6'2". Now my mother loves me, and I no longer need a stepping stool to brush my teeth. Thanks, Mangria, and thank you, Adam.
Head to CorollaDrinks.com and enter promo code LITTLEGUY for 20% off orders of three or more bottles. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, California gubernatorial candidate, John Cox. With Gina Grad on news, Walt Bryan on sound effects, and a phone call from John Taffer. And now, that sound you hear in the background is Vinny Tortorich sobbing over all the sugar Sonny and Natalia brought home on Halloween. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on the judgment. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Love it when you share the show. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
Shut your cock holster of a mouth. It's not a good way to start. I'm sorry. It's not appropriate.
All right. So much to complain about today. Let's see. I got my little... I wrote this down. I try not to judge on this show.
I mean, oh.
How's that?
Is experiencing...
She's on Bill Simmons' podcast.
Is experiencing a ghost a little bit narcissistic?
How?
Because I'm not good enough to experience a ghost. You know what I mean? It's like if you're sitting around a table, the person that had the ghost experience, it's everyone on that nutty broad.
Yeah.
And then they give their experience. And it really, it's got a little more to do with you than it does with the ghost. And it also suggests that many people have done the same thing you've done and never had this experience.
Mm-hmm. And the ghost reach out to you. You're the
There's
conduit.
A little...
Like, I have a little bit of a superpower.
I'm just trying to think of a wiring. Like, if you said...
eyesight, apparently.
If you took a... Whatever the opposite of narcissistic wiring is, would those people have, percentage-wise, less ghostly experiences?
Interesting.
Now, I'm not saying rich or poor, or I'm great, or I'm handsome, but just that whatever that wiring is... I feel like the lowest self-esteem people don't have ghosts. Maybe occasionally the ghost rapes them, but then
they have no choice but to acknowledge what happened.
But then there was a premature ectoplasm.
Ectoplasm.
Yes. Yeah. So I was thinking about that. I was thinking about someone was complaining about pizzas. Since the vegetarian pizza sucks because they put big circles of bell pepper and like slices of tomato and broccoli and just stuff that kind of ruins the pizza. And then I also thought, since a veggie sub sucks, I think where we're going south, because everyone tweets me like, oh, we had a company party and here's all the veggie subs that were left over. And we had a company party and here's the pizza. Here's the veggie pizza. I think the word veggie is fucking us up in vegetarian. Vegetarian means doesn't eat beef, not just eats fucking garden greens all the time. You know what I mean?
True. Like, that's true.
There is such a thing as a fantastic grilled cheese sandwich that has no meat. Now, this is vegetarian. You're not, you know, dairy. There is dairy involved.
Lacto-ovo vegetarian. But,
if you bought a bunch of beef sandwiches and a bunch of turkey sandwiches and the rest were like a grilled cheese sandwich with a tomato on it and some was left behind If you had one of those, what is it, Grioche? I'm trying to think of a good
Gruyere.
Gruyere. Sorry, a Gruyere cheese.
Gruyere on brioche.
That would be amazing. Oh, my God.
That's right. Yeah. We'll get Rosie to sample them.
That's pretty good.
So, not the Riveter, the football player. Mm. What I'm saying is
the paper towel
there is a version of a meatless sandwich that I could enjoy very much.
Oh, the burrata sandwich is wonderful.
Right, but it
tomato is tomato and the mozzarella.
It is not just taking a hoagie roll and putting lettuce and tomato in American cheese in it. That is not enjoyable.
Right.
It's a bunner.
Ooh.
Well, that's
done.
Right. We got
to rebrand the veggie sandwich.
So what I'm saying is the vegetarian, when people are doing the veggie option, get a cheese pizza. Mm-hmm. Just get a good cheese pizza, or just get an olive pizza.
Even the margarita pizza that we know are kind of hot and cold on, but like that's at least
something. But you go, you're vegetarian. Yes, you're vegetarian. Good. I'm going for lunch. I'm getting a veggie lover's pizza for you. Although no one loves veggies on a pizza.
Right.
And then I'm going to go get you the veggie sub.
Mm.
But the reality is you should get a kick-ass grilled cheese, and you should get a plain cheese pizza. Then when you don't finish it, or because my ratio is always fucked up and I've done a third, a third, and a third,
right,
as if the third of the people you work with won't have a turkey sandwich, then when they're left behind, others can't enjoy.
Sounds good.
All right. So the veggie is what's hurting the vegetarian cause. All right.
Get the veggie out of veggie.
Oh, yeah. We have a tweet where somebody broke down very carefully their pizza with me. I want to thank Tommy John for this half of the show. Go to TommyJohn.com /M. Castrol Challenge. Tweet us your questions at Adam Carolla Show. # Castrol Challenge. LifeLock. Go to LifeLock.com. Enter Adam. In the complaint department, we'll get into this with gubernatorial candidate John Cox when he comes in here.
Strong radio ad campaign, by the way.
Oh. I've heard a few.
Very, very good.
I have, when I drive, I'll tell you where it really hits home. We leave here and we leave Burbank Airport. And then we go, Max Paddle backed me up, because I don't look at him as a traveling companion. But what would that air freshener that's hanging from the rear view be called in terms of, would that be a traveling partner or just something you travel with?
Yeah, some sort of adornment.
Yeah, I don't look at you as an equal traveling partner,
but
yet you travel with me.
Yeah.
A traveler's
accessory.
You know
what I mean? And I hope you're taking this in the spirit in which it's intended.
No, that's how it feels.
Yeah, okay, good. So I look at you as the Christmas tree on my rear view mirror of life.
He's pine fresh.
But yeah, you're in the car with me. You know what I'm saying?
The nuts hanging from
totally
the differential.
Well, exactly. Hold on, Brian.
Okay. That's offensive.
That's outside of the vehicle.
Oh, that's a good point.
Chris is almost always allowed to travel inside of the vehicle.
Really?
Well, sir, at speed, for sure.
Thanks.
Okay. So he's in the vehicle, and I'm counting the trunk as the vehicle, because
right,
you can open that little boot there where the skis go through.
Right.
Anyway, I got to tell you, I've had a million cars that have that thing drop down where they have the boot where to put the skis through it. All I ever do is put base shoe and other moldings I get from Home Depot through there.
From your Aspen vacation?
I've never gone, we're going skiing.
No pole vaults?
No. No skis. Only shit from the Home Depot that's longer than 4 feet. Mm. So we travel and we hop on the freeway right where the studio is. And then we go to the Burbank Airport. And that is simply a stretch of the worst highway ever. And it's always being worked on. And it's always a mess. And then we land in Phoenix, or we land in Vegas, or we land in Portland, and then you leave the airport in Phoenix, and you go, oh, that's so smooth, that's so nice, and everything is scaped. You know, there's rocks and cacti and everything, whatever the indigenous, wherever you are, and it looks sort of put together.
Right.
It looks like somebody tried, and this is Damnation Alley, and it looks haphazard, and also the stretch has been worked on for years, but it's never currently being worked on. Like, we drive through, and as we're driving through, It is, I don't know, we left for Phoenix at 3 in the afternoon. There was no work going on. Me and August left for Vegas. It was 12:30. There's no work. Everything's torn apart with no work. So yeah. It's like somebody just said, I'll remodel your kitchen. It's going to take 121 years, and it's going to cost 10 times. Whatever I quoted you, it'll be millions and millions more than that. And you'll never catch me working. And then I saw my favorite thing, which made me really think about the definition. And I'm going to put it to you this way. Here are my definitions. I passed big I-beams. They had big I-beams on a big rack, and they're using it for building, for shoring up stuff, or driving piles, or whatever it is. They have building materials. The building materials are now being pre-tagged. They're getting graffitied before. So it used to be we'd build the train, and then at some point it'd go through the south side of Chicago, and it would get tagged.
Right.
We're now tagging the materials to build the train. And I thought...
So innovative.
I was going to say, you got ahead of the problem.
Then I thought about the freeway transition I used to pass a little bit further down the 5 that they were working on. That was being tagged as they were building it. So they were literally... Now, when you see the picture at adamcarolla.com, you'll go, oh, they're tearing down an old off-ramp. No, they're building an off-ramp. Think the movie Speed. And each day, they add on about 3 feet, and each day, the taggers add on about 3 feet of graffiti.
It's like L.A. Story. Remember when Steve Martin went to the ATM, and the line was for ATM, the line for the muggers?
Yes!
Hi, I'll be your mugger today. Oh, here you go.
It's right.
Like as the guys come off the job, the whistle blows, they got their lunch pails, they got their hard hats. Hey, Steve. Hey, Mitch. And the taggers hit pass in line.
Yeah, and then I passed by this big pile of I-beams, and the I-beams... I like that the signs are all knocked down and there's weeds everywhere and it's a mess. And then I thought, let me see if I can define things. If you live in a first world, in a real good first world, I don't know, think Tokyo or something like that, then you really have no graffiti. And then there's the sort of second world, which is graffiti where you'd expect it,
right,
down on the wrong side of the tracks.
Okay.
Subway,
we, LA, third world, we pre-graffiti things.
Ubiquitous graffiti.
We actually put graffiti on stuff that's not even stationary. And I have seen graffiti carved into cacti,
mirrors,
rocks. Yep. I see rocks graffiti. I see nature graffitied on. Like, that is third world shit. What is going on and what can we do about it? And why? Again, when they talk about like noise pollution, that's a real form of pollution. And, third-hand smoke, that's a real thing. How about just driving your kids through this sort of this stretch of the damned? Just everything, everything's one big weed. Everything is a dust bowl. Everything's fallen over. The sides, our freeway off ramps look like fucking Fred Sanford's backyard. Like, it's just weeds and junk. And then you travel around and you go, oh, look, I see in Arizona, there seem to be some plan. Yeah. There's some plan. And I have an idea. You know, they do that thing where like Bette Midler adopts a stretch of Mulholland,
or
like Galpin Ford will adopt the off ramp over there on Roscoe by there.
Every once in a while, the Klan.
Every once in a while, the Klan.
They do some good things.
Mm-hmm.
Keep the neighborhood clean.
I have a plan. How about the fucking mayor adopt the fucking city? He runs. How about that? How about we start a campaign?
Like
Mayor Garcetti, how about you adopt the fucking city you're supposed to lord over and take care of some of this shit? Because it's a goddamn mess. This whole place is falling apart. So maybe we can get the mayor. We can hashtag Mayor Garcetti. adopt Los Angeles.
That's good.
And it'll be one of those things. And sure, Galpin Ford and Bette Midler can help out, mm-hmm. but I mean, we'll get the mayor.
Start at the top.
Yeah.
That's
to get,
good.
To get involved.
What better example to set?
Yes. Mm. So, yes.
I do love the way you have taken on the role of managing the expectation of every tourist
that comes
to the city. Because it must be disappointing. It must be scary. It must be a bum out when you see all this shit. But you temper their expectations, and I think it makes a big difference.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm doing a service. All right. Taffer's calling in. Matt ordered a cocktail in New Orleans. Matt was at a destination bachelor party.
Glorious
destination bachelor party. although I was sort of thinking about it, and I've said, oh, here he is. I've said, Matt, and I said this to Max Zapata when he was on one of his destination bachelor parties as well, what percentage of those dudes on that party are owners versus renters? Because I want to separate the two. But I'm now looking back on that, and I've realized, like, you can't own anything here if you're not a millionaire anyway.
That's
so
true.
Might as well fucking get drunk and have fun because houses are so insanely expensive. And that one of the things John Cox wants to talk about is that and
That'd
is
nice.
The land and is the regulation, is what's going on. What was and Taffer? Is Taffer on or is he going to be calling in?
He's calling in. We're still waiting on him.
All right. Matt, you have a good time at your destination bachelor party?
I did indeed. It was a really, really fun time. It was my first time going to New Orleans.
Mm.
So it was pretty cool. And it was, you know, Halloween weekend. So it was
perfect.
Extra scary.
A lot of costumes and stuff.
How old are you, Matt? How old are you in this group of friends generally?
34, 35.
Is this your first destination bachelor party? I'm not saying Vegas or something. I mean,
more or less, yeah.
Get used to it.
Gary's was in San Diego. That was somewhat
of a destination.
Yeah. The
floodgates open on destination bachelor
order.
Parties in your mid-30s.
I'm about to go to a destination bachelorette party in New Orleans, and I've never been either, so I can't wait to bend your ear about this.
What did you – New Orleans is fun for a couple days. It would seem weird to live there. Jimmy and I have been there a couple of times. There is the one – when I have a handful of memories in New Orleans, but one of the ones I enjoyed the most is – when we got into the van, Jimmy and I did, and we're getting like the guy's taking us on a tour of New Orleans. And at some point, the guy who was driving was kind of hauling ass. And because I'm from Los Angeles, I spotted a cop. And the cop was like getting up on the highway behind us. And I started panicking, like, oh, whoa, 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 we got rollers, we got rollers, we got a guy, we got a cop, I got the fuzz. And the guy just kept driving like 15 miles an hour over the speed limit. And I went, you got a cop behind you because. You get used growing up around Ventura Boulevard.
You get lit up all the time.
Start pulling over as soon as you see the guy.
Yeah. Burbank, whatever, jaywalking, chicken shit, everything, constantly, all day, every day, all the time. And the guy just kept driving fast, and he just turned to me and he went, that guy's got bigger fish to fry than me. And I thought, what a great society where you get to drive your car and not feel like you're an escaped convict.
That's right.
So that's kind of nice about New Orleans. So you went there. What was on the agenda?
Well, mostly bar hopping and drinking. There
mm-hmm.
was a lot of Dodgers World Series watching as well.
Mm-hmm.
The one sort of unique thing we did was we did the fan boat tour out over the swampland.
Everybody stayed right
side
up.
And we had a tour guide who grew up in the swampland, and he loved that it was a bachelor party on the boat, and he was just telling the filthiest stories. It was hilarious.
Nice. I went on – me and Jimmy did a fan boat – thing in New Orleans too, and all I remember is it's fun, like the guys, you know, buzz you around, I was having to do love line with the time difference from 1 a.m to 3 a.m
sure.
And then I would get back to my hotel at like 3:30, and I would go to bed at 4, and then we all met in the lobby at 6
Oy.
To go out to the Okefenokee Swamp and get in the fan boat. And on serious sleep deprivation, the fan boat experience is not nearly as enjoyable on an hour and 40 minutes sleep. Like, these guys just buzzing through the Everglades, and he's going, touch the alligator. You're like, I see two of you, and I think I would like to throw up right now. So get a good night's sleep in before you hit the fan boat. But it's cool, right?
Yeah, it was a blast. And he just had great stories about his time out on the water and, you know, snakes coming onto the boat and... You know, he'd answer any question you have with a bunch of dry sarcasm. You really couldn't have asked for a better, you know, bachelor party experience.
And let's see, a Taffer's on line four. Now, you had a drink. You ordered a drink.
I ordered a drink, which one might call a novelty drink.
I would like you to share that drink with John Taffer.
Oh, it would be an honor.
Do we have a breakdown of what is in that drink? Or you
I wrote it down.
You wrote it down. Okay. Yeah. This is quite an elaborate drink. John Taffer?
Hi, Adam.
Good to speak to you, my brother.
Same here, buddy.
My assistant and beyond is in here, Matt the Porcelain Punisher Fondelier. He has a drink he'd like to bounce off of you. He just got back from New Orleans. So we're going to put you on the spot. By the way, the podcast, no excuses, Tuesdays on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts, and of course, Bar Rescue, renewed for a seventh season, coming soon to Paramount Network. And the book, Don't Bullshit Yourself. Hey, John, the name of the the name of the drink is what, Matt?
The Ramos Gin Fizz.
Ooh. Sounds good.
Ooh, that's a tough one. That is an egg white in it, et cetera. That's not an easy drink to make.
I was trying to find, you know, regional cocktails to enjoy, and I saw that it was invented in New Orleans, but I also saw it is known as the most labor-intensive drink known to man, you know, how to piss your bartender off.
I hope you tipped like a son of a bitch.
Oh, I absolutely did. And I ordered it, and a buddy of mine was like, oh, what's that? And I listed off the ingredients, and he's like, I'll take one of those, too. So this poor, poor bartender.
So you ordered it just to be an asshole. It's pretty much what you're saying, Matt.
That's what you do on a bachelor party, you know?
You got to raise the stakes.
So the flavor meant nothing to you. You know, none of that mattered. The whole point of this transaction was to be a dick, pretty much.
Well, I'll tell you what's not on the menu, the list of ingredients is the snot rocket floater that every drink comes with. So what is in, what are the ingredients, Matt?
So it, okay, so it's got gin, lemon juice, lime juice, cream, simple syrup, the white of a single egg, orange blossom water, and club soda. And then you are supposed to basically shake it until your arms fall off.
Oh, my God.
Did the guy to go look it up?
You shake it and then put the soda on top. Obviously, you don't shake it with the soda.
Oh, there you go. Thanks, John.
He absolutely knew what it was. I walked up and asked if there was like a cocktail menu. It was one of the only cocktail bars that we went to. And he's like, nope, just call it. And I was like, you ever hear of a Ramos Gin Fizz before? And he kind of gave me a look. Exactly.
And then the guy behind him was
Did he have to look it up?
No.
He didn't look it up.
Not only that, but he did something interesting. He turned to the other bartender and he said, I need two chicken fruit.
What? Hmm.
And I was like, what the hell is a chicken fruit? He's like, what kind of fruit does a chicken make?
Oh.
Wow. Chicken egg?
Where I come from, it's a scared gay guy.
Yeah.
But this is something else. By the way, there was a guy behind Matt who was like, I'll have a Bud Light. He's like, that'll be 7 hours.
Yeah.
You may want to go watch the entire extra innings of the Dodger game over there. We're just 6, 7 hours. We'll notify you. The window between.
And a zombie at the same time, Matt. And nail him.
There you go. That'll really take it to the next level.
Did it taste like a creamsicle or
something?
That's
exactly the word I would use.
Wow. Mm. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah. It was great. I mean, it looks like a giant glass of milk. That's really what it looked like, but it did just taste like a creamsicle. Wow. It was delicious.
Orange blossom water is a really, really condensed orange flavor. You just put a couple of drops in there, and it takes over the entire drink. So that's what you're tasting, the cream and the egg white. It's vanilla.
That is it.
So it's actually a great drink.
That's a deep cut, but I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
Like I'll
tell you, Adam, I think we should replace the gin with a little mangria.
Thank you.
Delightful.
So how much was that drink? By the way, did he charge like $131 or something?
You know, I'm a man of the people. I bought a round for all 10 of us that were there. I didn't really look to see how much each one was. I just wrote a real nice tip.
Nine Amstel lights.
right.
Gin fizz.
Well, I mean, I'm going to guess it was around 20.
10 Ramos fizzes and really nailed them.
Yeah, yeah. Close the place down. It seems dairy and alcohol doesn't seem like a great combination, but it didn't. It
Why
didn't
Russian?
Mess. I know, right. Exactly. But you liked it.
I did. I thought it was amazing. I would get it again.
Wow.
John,
please don't.
John, what do you have on like one of your more exotic drink? Like, what would you order if you're going a little more exotic, or like your lady friend said, I want something I've never had before, something equivalent to this?
Well, years ago when I used to run nightclubs, we had a drink called the Green Lizard. And a Green Lizard, Adam, was half 151 rum and half green chartreuse in a shot glass, which is 110 proof. And we used to say when you gave a lady a green lizard, the guy sitting next to her got much better looking by the minute. And this was a bar emptying drink. So we would create these green lizards, and we would sell lots of them. They became a signature drink. And Adam, when you drank one, suddenly your body temperature went up. You started to breathe a little heavier. And I swear the person sitting next to you got much better looking by it. So, you know, it depends upon motive. Green Lizard is a very effective drink for its purpose. But then, you know, there's a lot of fun ones. They want something sweet, that they want something on a rock. So even a chocolate martini is a great choice. I'll tell you why. It's high proof, but yet it's still sweet and tasty as compared to a pina colada, which is sweet and tasty and low proof.
Yeah.
So chocolate martinis, any kind of flavored, you know, vanilla cherry martinis are really, really tasty, and they'll nail you.
The chocolate martini, very popular on both Corolla cruises for the kind of post-dinner bar hangouts. I was seeing a lot of people drinking those.
They're sweet, but yet they're strong.
What's
kind of like Adam?
What's thank you. Nope. Yeah, what's trendy? What's trending in the booze? Like I said, like stuff like rye came back and gin came back, stuff that was all gone.
Well, I own a bourbon distillery now, Adam, called Frey Ranch, but bourbon is the hottest thing in the country. Listen to this. I was doing some research just the other day. When you attach the word craft to beer, it's now 3% less popular than it was a year ago. When you attach the word craft to vodka, it's 3% more popular than it was a year ago. And when you attach craft to the word whiskey, it's 8% better. So craft whiskeys and flavored whiskeys and maple and vanilla, really hot now. I mean, you can't keep it on the shelf. And bourbon.
It's weird. I mean, I guess that's just the way it works. The thing I was commenting on the show a week or so ago is when you look at the booze. I was watching the World Series. I saw up on the Green Monsters. I think it was like Johnny Walker since 1785. And I thought, what has been around as long as booze? And we must love booze. Yes, Brian.
I know your thoughts on passion fruit juice. There are only two times when it's acceptable. One, you know, on the islands in Hawaii, perhaps getting the fresh squeezed passion fruit juice cocktail from the islands. Number two, a hurricane in New Orleans. Did you, in fact, have a hurricane made with passion fruit juice?
You know, we had several hurricanes. The most famous is from a place called Pat O'Brien's.
You got New Orleans, you got to have a hurricane.
Yep. Right. So that was like a pretty cool, like an outdoor patio. That one tasted like, back in the dorm room days, it was known as jungle juice. Or candy dropping juice.
You sort of stick your teeth together.
That one of the few drinks I was unable to finish. You could really only have a few sips of that. It was like just not quite.
We did a bar rescue episode on Bourbon Street. There are 57 bars in three blocks. And we found just that every cocktail was either green or red. So we created a blue cocktail called the Resurrection and put it in a skull cup to try to create our own identity.
Nice.
I was talking to them 2 weeks ago. They sell 16,000 of those a month.
Wow.
A month.
Oh my God.
Is Aykroyd Skull Vodka still moving? I haven't seen it in a while.
Crystal Head. It still does pretty well. You know, it's interesting, Adam, and you
good
nailed
stripper
it.
Name.
The bottle is really important. The problem with Crystal Head, it just doesn't fit in the speed well behind the bar. It's really awkward to pour. As cool as the bottle is, bars sort of hate it.
There's a bottle in my bar, like underneath my little home bar, unopened, because the bottle's so cool. I was like to display it. Like, you know, the
Crystal Head.
Here or there, yeah.
Hey, John Taffer.
Yeah, that's the problem with some of those.
The podcast is no excuse. It is Tuesday, so no excuses. I've been on it. I suggest you try it out. Tuesdays, Podcast One and Apple Podcasts. Well, of course, Bar Rescue, renewed for Season 7. Coming soon to the Paramount Network. Do you know, are you vetting bars right now? You must have to send folks out and sort of...
Yeah, we do. We have casting crews that go out. About 3,000 to 4,000 will try. And Adam, we only pick in 12 or 14 a season. But I start a new show in 2 weeks in Puerto Rico on Paramount Network. It's another relationship rescue show. I'm not allowed to say the name yet, but I'm pretty excited about it. So it'll be the second show on the network. And you'll get a kick out of this.
Rum Rescue, starring John Taffer from Puerto Rico, brought to you by Rum Rico. Rum, the only rum that tastes. What are you going to be doing? So you're going to be rescuing other places in Puerto Rico?
Actually, more relationship rescue.
Oh, really?
And it's a whole different format. I'm pretty freaking excited about it. We're shooting 6 episodes.
My wife was lost.
I never shot a pilot. We're going to figure out what it is when we get there.
All I got was a roll of paper towels.
Well, we'll be looking out for Puerto Rican People Rescue.
That's a great name.
Thanks, John Taffer.
Good to talk to you, Adam.
Appreciate it, my friend. And Matt as well. Thank you. I enjoyed that drink.
Thank you.
I'm very curious about it.
Hey, check out my food podcast, Chez Fondelet.
Yes, check out Chez Fondelet.
It's been a while since we did the side-by-side tastings. What would we do last? We did
vodka. Cheese?
No. We did beer and we did vodka.
Yeah.
We got to do some gin in honor of Matt.
Yeah,
that'd be nice.
I'll be back in studio for that one. No problem.
I think we'll do that. I think we were talking about doing tequila.
Yeah, whatever.
I got to say, I went over to Chris Morgan's house, Fast and Furious brother, writes all those movies, lives in the neighborhood. And I just went to his house to hang out one night, and he got his gin that he orders. You know, there's upper shelf, and then there's upper shelf. And then he got his tonic that he orders online, and he got his little stir sticks, little silver stir.
Wow.
And he was... when I make a drink, I do like I basically measure the booze like you'd measure hair goo, like, you know, like, that seems like I'll do. Wipe the rest of my jeans. Like, he was measuring and muddling and pouring and stirring. And it does
taste a little better.
It's a little bit better, but it's also like, I like that we're doing this.
The pageantry.
Yeah.
What it is, here's what I like about it. Here's what I love anything that screams. This activity is why I love it when someone has a killer garage. Mm. But like, I know your house, what's going on inside your house, your business, and what's going on inside your business and your life is insanely good because you had this much time and this many resources to allocate to your garage. Mm. I when I see a guy with a kick ass, it's the same thing. It's the antithesis of when you see a guy or a gal in the car and there's like newspapers in the car and fast food and you go, that person's a fucking mess. Like, there's no way you go, that car is going to end up in that garage. You know where that car, you know that person's crazy from 4 lanes over, right?
Yep.
I feel
dead
that.
Tell.
I love it when people do it with their closets. I love it when they do it with their garages. I love it when they make their drinks that way. Mm-hmm. It just shows. I just care.
Yeah.
I care.
Attention to detail.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let me tell you about something else that means you've arrived. Tommy John. Fall is here, and you may switch your wardrobe. Let's not neglect your underwear. Upgrade with the new fall colors. Prints all from Tommy John. Proprietary fabrics that perform like nothing you've ever worn. No wedgie guarantee. Comfortable stay-put waistbands. Luxurious, soft, feather-light, moisture-wicking, breathable fabrics. No bunching. No riding up. So, if you don't love the first pair you get, they have a full. You can get a full refund. It's the best pair you'll ever wear. It's free guarantee. I just can't imagine you finding fault with Tommy John or returning. It's insane. I will call you a liar.
You'd have to be insane.
You would. Including women's underwear, now fully back in stock. Tommy John, I'm wearing them now. They're just the best. You'll never switch back to whatever you're currently wearing unless you're wearing Tommy John, in which case you wouldn't be switching back. Tommy John, no adjustment needed. Right, Dawson?
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam now for 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. Only at TommyJohn.com. TommyJohn.com.
All right. Yes.
You know, I want to give a quick shout out to somebody I wouldn't generally give a shout out to because I don't follow them that closely. But I was, you know, looking at the news and prepping today, and I saw just a snippet of an article that Ben Shapiro wrote, and I read it, and it was so beautiful. And I posted on my Facebook page, it says, "Why We Cling to the Tree of Life." The Tree of Life was the name of the synagogue in Pittsburgh that got shot up. And it's a really beautiful article about Judaism and Jews throughout history. And I know he's a divisive guy and some people, you know, just by name don't want to listen to what he has to say. But this article was really beautiful. And I highly recommend people checking it out.
I agree. I know we're living in a world where everyone's divisive.
Also divisive.
Divisive. Mm. I know Ben pretty well. Ben will hit you in the face with a truth pie, and that's pretty alarming to most people, and they don't like it. And I've never – he's almost like a newborn when he gives his answers to people as to why things are the way they are. But he's kind of like a doctor with no bedside manner, right. And we've decided that's divisive.
He's a Nazi.
It's hard to disagree. If you just want to go down point by point with him on many subjects, you will have a hard time. You may be offended, or you may clutch your pearls, or you may go, oh, get out, or that can't be true, or that's whatever.
That's insensitive.
But go find... Go gather the counter argument, and then go shoot his points down. You will have a hard time doing it. That's what I'm saying. On a point by point, not feelings, but just if you really want to just go gather your points and go against his points, you'll have a difficult time with him. And I get it. It pisses people off. On that note, I'm glad you brought that up because I was just talking to Brian Koppelman on the way in from Rounders and Ocean's 13, I think 13, and
Billions,
and I was on a conference call with him and John Singleton.
Wow.
And first thing he brought up was somebody just sort of coincidentally sent out a coincidentally meaning like the night before, somebody sent out a tweet. Brian or him, you don't have to look it up, Chris, or anything. I'll just paraphrase. But basically, somebody said, hey, Koppelman, love you. It was kind of nice that Carolla's one of the best comedic minds in the business, but fuck him with his rhetoric, his political rhetoric. And Koppelman wrote back and he said, I love Carolla and we do disagree on, and this is what I liked. He said, some policies. He wrote the word some, and that's what I said, that's right, some. I wish more people do it. I go, I don't agree with that guy. Some.
You're allowed to have nuanced thoughts.
Yes, yeah, some. Like, here's the thing. Everybody who thinks they disagree with Ben Shapiro probably agrees with 70% of things that come out of his mouth or that he says. It's stuff that's hard to argue. It's just sort of nuts and bolts. Right. It's the, again, the Vinnie Tortorich saying diet and exercise. You know, it's like, oh, get out of here. I disagree. Now, then there's granular stuff where you wouldn't do or you disagree with or whatever. But
black people are genetically inferior.
Right.
That
may fall into the 30 percentile. But
black people have a tendency toward crime.
That may fall into the 30 percentile. What I'm saying is we should start saying some, because really is that way. Koppelman and I disagree on political items, but some.
Yeah.
And we probably agree more than we disagree, and we certainly both live our lives the same way. I mean, everyone just works and takes care of their family and is a good community member and pays their taxes and puts their turn signal on before they turn right. Like, I don't think there's any difference in the way we lead our lives.
Yeah, right.
Isn't that, by the way, the ultimate agreement, is the ultimate agreement politics or how you conduct yourself in society?
Yes.
The ultimate agreement in society, the people you want living around you are not the most Republicans or Democrats or libertarians. It's the people who don't block your driveway with the front bumper of their car, the people that walk their kids to school, the people that keep their lawn mowed, the people that have a backyard barbecue and invite you or at least turn the music down after it gets late, or don't party too hard on a Sunday night when you're tucking your kid in. Like, all the things you do are all the things you're looking for out of a society. You know, you take Ben Shapiro or Dennis Prager and you take Brian Koppelman and you go, oh, they don't agree on anything politically.
They must hate each other.
They're dedicated husbands, parents, fathers. They keep up their whatever their social agreement is. Their paint's not bubbling off the fascia of their house, and there's no old furniture out in the street. They don't litter. They don't smoke. They don't flick butts, into brushy hillside areas.
They don't throw their dog poop in an easement.
Yeah. They didn't pull.
None of those maniacal.
Yeah.
They didn't do any. Hey, listen, there's no trash cans. Okay, listen. They did not. They didn't pull the catalytic converters off their cars and just run a straight pipe so you could be killed by carbon monoxide. Like,
actually, Shapiro did that. I saw him post a video.
He's such a gearhead.
Yeah, no, he can't help but tinker.
I said to him, are you getting any more power by doing a cat delete? He said, no, not low end, not torque, but in the higher rev ranges when you get around the red line.
Wow.
He's pulling an extra 9 or 10 horsepower on the last dyno pull he did.
I mean, he had to dumb it down a little bit for Adam, right? You know, for the conversation, right. But you knew what he was talking about.
I said, but how much horsepower, really? And he said, well, to the flywheel, to the rear end. And then we got into it, and then I lost track of it after a while. If you think about the way he lives his life, so you take Ben Shapiro and you pick Brian Koppelman, or you pick your poison side of the aisle. They care about the community. They're charitable. They probably donate their time at the school and the thing. Mm-hmm. First things first, they all pay their taxes, and they pay a shitload in taxes.
They rarely kick puppies.
They don't do
almost
any.
Almost never.
Yeah, they're kind. They're kind to their neighbors, kind to the community. They don't have run-ins with the cops. They haven't, you know, there's no domestic assault or drunken battery or anything. Think about the way they live. They live the exact same life. Really, like, and by the way, I would challenge anybody, although don't do it, but if you observed these two polar opposites, let's just say your Koppelmans and your Ben Shapiros, if I tasked you with following them for 1 week and with a notepad, and then you got to tell me at the end, Democrat or Republican, like, where do they vote? Where do they vote? You would not know. You would just see the same guy who got up, kissed his wife, went to work, paid his taxes, paid his tolls, sat in traffic, came home, read the paper, like whatever it is. I do not think you could tell at the end of that week. So with that in mind, that's not too shabby. Mm-hmm. I mean, that I would much rather be surrounded by those people than people I was in lockstep with, let's say politically, but did not.
They want to live next to.
Weren't mowing their lawn. We're getting divorced. We're smacking their kids or whatever it is. It's a better way to think. Everyone think like me. It's a better way to think. All right. Let's see. We got the donut situation.
Oh, God.
Oh, we got Garrett. We finally got Garrigus's vanity plates growing up. No wonder that guy's. Kate, you tell me this. Offspring of people with vanity plates growing up are 41 to 67% more confident and feel better about themselves. Everyone I know whose parents had a vanity plate fucking feels great about themselves.
I was just going to say they don't have a care in the world. When you see the kids driving around, they are happy campers, man.
They're
not cutters.
I don't think of it as not a care in the world. I just think they feel better. Like Mark Garrigus, he doesn't walk into buildings. He bounds into buildings. He bounds in and he'll be on the phone and he'll smack you on the shoulder and go, how you doing? And I go, good. And he'll go, I'll go, how you doing? Great. And a smack you on the shoulder again. And then what's going on? And then
let's play Sue.
Let's go. You're right. And I don't know. I'd like to figure this out, but I'm saying the vanity plates, especially when there's a ma dad version of the vanity plates. So we were talking about the vanity plates. So Garrigus was telling me his parents always had them and like rotated them. Kalen did the legwork on him.
Yeah, so his parents had a couple. His dad got his mom two. The first one was Aintab C. Aintab is a city in Turkey where she was from. And at C means that's where you're from.
So
they got Aintab C, and then he got another one for her called Fresnotsi.
Fresno, and C. Then from Fresno.
Exactly.
All right.
And then his dad had 12 in box. Which is the jury.
That's good.
Acquittal.
I wanted to get 12 in pants, but they wouldn't let me. I said, if you can do in box, where's it? It's going to end up in the box anyway. Why can't I say pants?
I said no.
Mm-hmm.
He also had acquittal and civil action.
Mm. Oh, not only the people that get the plate, But the people that do it about their profession.
Yeah, reflects what they do. That's right.
What they do.
Yeah.
Fucking much. They love it.
Yep.
They advertise what they do.
They say, doctors.
They let you know what they do.
Far be it for me to insult Garrick as a sweet dad. I don't know the man, but this feels like the realm of lawyers and realtors and general people you don't want to hang out with.
I don't know, Garrick.
Sorry to all the little, except for the ones who are listening to the show.
I don't know. I'm trying to think, like, what profession is the number one vanity plate where it's displayed? Profession. A lawyer's got to be up there.
Realtor's got to be up there.
Lawyer, dentist.
That's right.
You know, there's the say ahs, there's the pearly whites with a couple of vowels missing.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, Garagos must say to me, when I do reasonable doubt with him, he will say 4.7 times a show. It's like my old man used to say. You want a lot of that. That's a sign of respect. That's a good thing. He's very proud of his dad. His mom, again, this is a vanity plate thing. His mom is probably passed. I'm sure she's passed. But when I used to go a few years back to Garagos's holiday parties, like Christmas party at his home, lives a couple blocks away from my house, he would bring his mom over in an ambulance. She was like living in an assisted home or whatever. They would like send over like a hair, makeup, and like gown person, do her up to the nines, like transport her. And, you know, I'm not talking about a helicopter, but like an official vehicle that had some equipment
some
and
air,
stuff
some
on it. Yeah. Put her in a wheelchair. Push her into the party and like have her there.
Royalty.
That's lovely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mom, if you're listening, do not expect the same treatment in the upcoming years.
If you're listening.
Oh, maybe if Garagos is feeling particularly generous.
Bringing for it.
Yeah. All right. So.
Completely anecdotal, but, you know, Christy, I mentioned her family has the personalized plates, the family ones, you know, with the last name or whatever, a series of them. She and her brother are very well-adjusted, successful, happy adults.
She seems...
Again, this is anecdotal.
I know, but look no further than the Porcelain Punisher. He's got it. Mm-hmm. Christy strikes me as one of... I'm always very impressed by her because I love that she does homework. I hate it. I hate it when you give someone an opportunity and you go, you want to come on the radio show or you want to come on the podcast or you want to do the whatever. I used to do this in morning radio and stuff all the time. It's like they just float in a little hungover and like sit down and then you'd go, what do you got? You got your list of stuff you want to? Yeah, whatever you want to talk about. It's like I always wanted to say to them, first off, you're not good enough. I am good enough to do that, and I still carry a buck slip with me, but you're not nearly good enough to do that, and you're insulting everyone who's listening. But I love that she does the homework. I love that she bakes. I love that she's all into stuff and has a very nice straddles the line of confident and approachable well.
For sure.
Where's your pompous ass?
Yeah, very different.
Very different.
I assume you're looking through me right to Chris.
Yeah, Max. No, there's a. It's all the plate. It's now all the vanity plate. I'm convinced.
It's a one-to-one success.
I'm convinced.
Listen, losers, get a vanity plate and turn your kids around.
Well, it's a self-selecting group, right? It means...
Absolutely.
It means... oftentimes a couple that's staying intact, right?
Who gets the plates in the divorce?
Right. So there's a intact aspect to it. There's a
little fun loving.
We have fun. We have
pride.
Disposable income because it's going to cost $75. Yep. My family would be like, you get a free license plate or you pay your registration and you get a license plate. Why would you pay an extra $40 on top? That'd be insane. Max Batter, you're shaking your head. Like that. You're nodding your head. That'd be an insane premise for your family, right?
Yeah.
Give the DMV a little bit more money and you can have something on your plate. Yes. Okay. So that... It says a bunch of things before you then get down to the plate. Like we already know, you know, you're together, you have some money, you have a little sense of humor, you care about the kid, you know, you sort of care about what people think of you.
A little bit of pride, either
a little
in the
bit
family,
of pride.
Or I went to Michigan or I love the Kings or whatever.
Right.
That thing is.
Right. All right. You know, I think, Max Pat, you can kind of look this up, but much like people used to do with domain names, if you do, if you have the vanity plate that just says Ferrari or Porsche or one Ferrari one or whatever it is, I think you can probably sell that for like $1 million.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for certain ones, absolutely.
Yeah. So much like domains. Although it's weird with domains, they would do it like, you know, bigtits.com or something. But somebody bought my name 1 million years ago.
And they squat on it.
Yeah, they just squat on it. But I think at some point somebody thought, yeah, you know what? We should do some legislation that says you can't just buy people's names you see on TV unless you have some use for them. Sure. You can't just buy them. You don't, it's not a valid use of their name, you know, if you're, yes.
But back in the day when people were buying domain names for like the first time, one enterprising individual, who I don't think you guys knew, but was a KLSX employee, looked at all the major cities in Southern California and would buy the city name with the word winery after it. So if a winery sprouted up anywhere, they would have to pay him for it, which at the time I thought was interesting.
Interesting, considering you're paying several hundred dollars per year because of all those
cities.
It's
an investment.
You better
strike. Can you find out if they sell? Or I remember hearing one had sold. All right, anyway, I'll tell you our guess is here, so we'll get moving here. Castrol Edge. You can tweet us at Adam Carolla Show with hashtag Castrol Challenge with your questions for Castrol Challenge. Brought to you by Castrol Edge. Formulated with fluid titanium technology, reduces friction and maximizes engine performance. Three times,
fool.
Stronger against viscosity. Break down the leading full synthetic oil. What do you got, Max Pata?
At Ross Fit on Instagram wants to know, hashtag Castrol Challenge. Adam, in your opinion, what is the most overrated car that gets the most attention?
Ooh.
Mm. Well, I hate those goddamn Mercedes G-Wagons. They're big, boxy shit. They
look so great. Oh, wait, no.
They're like Kardashian cars. Mm-hmm. They're like, people take these big box wagons. Mm-hmm. They cost $100,000 plus. They then put like 24-inch rims on them. So now you got this big, heavy car with these super thin rubber band tires, which in Los Angeles, you're going to ding up every... The guys who sell rims in Los Angeles, the rim, just the rim scam in Los Angeles is un-goddamn believable because it has the worst roads in the country with the most amount of assholes with huge rims on it. Now, I'm standing in front of a...
super raised one?
Super raised G-Wagon in a parking lot. It's one of the... Like, here's the thing. Here's what the G-Wagon is. The G-Wagon is, hey, are you a douche? Yeah.
Check.
I thought I was going to get the Hummer over there. No. You're a rich douche. Yeah. Oh.
Leave that for the Jersey trolls.
I don't have to drive the Canary Yellow 8 Hummer 3. No.
That's for the bridge and tunnel crowd.
Yeah. You've arrived. You're still a douche, but you're a douche with tons of money.
You're getting a douche wagon.
Right, you're getting a douche wagon. Right this way, sir.
That's the G-Wagon.
Watch the Ed Hardy shirt.
Yes. Ugh.
Tap out.
Ugh. I hate that car. And also... It's also the person driving it knows nothing of it and really has never used it for whatever the proper application is, and they've never taken it up to the snow or been off road or whatever. And I'm sure that's a car that they test at the Mojave salt beds in 130 degree temp, and it's a piece of German engineering. But yet, douchebag just gets in driving. So in a weird way, it's not even the vehicle. Mm-hmm. It's more the person who thinks it'd be a good idea to spend $136,000 on a glorified Jeep. Okay.
All right.
Brought to you by Castrol Edge.
So, Adam, we found, at least in Texas, somebody sold a license plate just with the number 8, because someone, you know, that could be someone's lucky number, $34,500.
Wow.
Just 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it lets you know if you had Porsche or Ford GT or whatever.
Go Dodgers. Well,
whatever.
You know what I mean.
Yeah. All right. Tessa had a little Halloween Kimmel thing that we want to talk about?
I don't think that's how we set it up. I said it. I would say we set it up as Brian and I'm sorry, but Christy might be the worst parents ever. Well, abusive.
Every year we laugh. You know, Kimmel does the thing on his show. Jimmy Kimmel told me they filmed their kids. You know, Jimmy Kimmel told me to take your candy, eat your candy or whatever. And I'm like, oh, Tom, it's time we got in on the fun.
Right.
And it was as much Christy's idea as it was mine. She took the video, and it's not as funny as like when you know the 6-year-olds here and they throw a fit. They're like, oh, I hate Jimmy Kimmel.
This is heartbreaking.
Tessa reacts very genuinely.
All right, we'll play it for you. So we see Tessa standing next to the table.
What do you say, baby?
Mommy,
I want candy bar?
Yeah.
Mommy and Daddy ate all your candy.
No.
Yeah, we ate it last night.
Yeah.
I want it.
Do you know why?
It's all gone.
Tessa, Jimmy Kimmel told us to.
Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel told us to eat your candy. I'm sorry, it's all gone. It's in Mommy's belly. Mommy and Daddy ate all your candy because of Jimmy Kimmel.
Perfectly timed.
Baby.
I'm sorry, baby.
She's so upset.
I'm sorry.
There's always next year.
Yeah, who's
always
next year, okay? I'm just kidding. We didn't eat your candy.
We gave her candy back, and she recovered in about 20 seconds. I mean, we look like horrible parents in this video, but Tessa has a short, resilient memory.
The betrayal in her eyes is so palpable.
That's heartbreaking.
I loved it. I loved it because as long as I know it's going to turn out okay.
Had we gotten rid of the candy, that'd be horrible. Yes. She was fine.
You got to learn.
Literally 20 seconds later, she was chewing on a lollipop wrapper. I doubt it'll make the air because it's just too mean.
Oh, some of them get pretty.
I think they get like, you have to ask Mike Choffier or maybe even Kimmel himself, but they must get thousands of entries.
If only you knew somebody.
Lightning's wedding?
I just have another Kimmel prank. Lightning posted on Facebook a picture of his wedding. Kimmel was one of the guys in his groomsmen party, and he said that he played a prank at his wedding when they did the. Does anybody object to these two getting married? Speak now, forever hold your peace. And Kimmel convinced everybody in the crowd to raise their hand when that happened.
That's awesome.
Which explains Lightning, the former producer of Kevin and Bean.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, Jay Tillis.
That's good.
That's funny. All right, let me tell you about LifeLock, and then we'll bring in John Cox. LifeLock, for over 3 years, a software vulnerability in the Google Plus social media network gave third-party developers potential access to almost 500,000 users' data. With your personal info from a data exposure, criminals can open accounts, file tax returns, and buy property. So many threats in today's connected world. Just takes one weak link for criminals to get in. You got to protect yourself. It's 2018, almost 2019 now. Everybody, let's protect ourselves. New LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security. Help protect against threats to your identity, devices you can't easily see or fix on your own. It is the industry standard. It's the best. It is LifeLock. Right, Dawson?
No one can stop every cyber threat, prevent all identity theft, or monitor transactions at all businesses. But new LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code ADAM for an extra 10% off your first year, plus a $25 Amazon gift card with annual enrollment. That's promo code ADAM. Terms apply.
All right. We will take a break. We'll play good sports, and we'll be back with John Cox, gubernatorial for California, that is, Republican candidate, right after this.
This week at AdamCarolla.com, take a knee with Adam Carolla and David Bonson.
And I wrote an article at the time that the book came out contrasting the lyrics of Bruce Springsteen in the 70s to what we see today. So he was describing disgruntled neighborhoods, communities that were struggling, economic hardship, the plight of the blue-collar working guy, and what were his solutions? To get out of the town and go create a new life, find a new job. It was aspirational and everything, right? And Bruce is a, you know, left-wing guy and everything, but he made his career out of this idea of the working man making a better life for himself.
Right.
And it had all that kind of rhetoric around it, Born to Run and all that stuff. Now every song is sort of pointing people to wallow in their self-pity and how much they've been wronged by whoever.
Subscribe to Take a Knee with Adam Carolla for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. And get unlimited access to Adam Carolla's archives. Sign up for Podcast One Premium. Use the Podcast One app or click the link at adamcarolla.com.
Let's do it.
Good. The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to the Friday episode of Good Sports here on Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla over there. New episode of Dave's of Thunder. Make sure you track that one down. Good times with David Feeney and Gary there behind the glass wearing his hip shades, and little Donovan and the rest of the gang. Always good times there. Ace, like I say, it's Friday. We've been reviewing music all week long. We're going to continue to do it because we couldn't help ourselves. We've expanded now into just general TV theme songs, which is always good by me. But real quick, let's bring it on home. Your number one sports theme of all time. Oh, we didn't even do Wide World of Sports.
Oh.
How can we? I'm sorry, Gary, but we can't. How can we do it without that?
You know? We have to do Wide World of Sports.
Give me your number one to date, though, kid, because that sets up some drama here if you say only one more chance to be defeated.
Monday Night Football. The NFL film stuff is unbelievable, but the NFL film stuff is also very attached to the imagery. I could see the images as I hear it, and I realize that the Monday Night Football theme sort of it stands alone. I mean, it'll work as an entree a la carte. It doesn't need the sides.
You talked about the nostalgia. There is something about it that, as much as anything, and it doesn't make any logical or rational sense, but it is as meaningful, and I'm not being too hyperbolic, but of your memories from childhood, there's few that mean as much as the Monday night. I don't know why that's true, to me at least, as somebody who grew up loving football and all that. There are few things that mean as much when I hear that and the way it makes me reel back through the years.
But also, you know, when you grow up like me and Dolly fucking Parton, you don't have a lot to look forward to. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, well, when we weren't skiing, we were in Hawaii, and we weren't in Hawaii. I was playing with my array of video games.
How do you think I grew up? I wasn't in Hawaii or on the slopes.
I'm not saying you. I'm saying in a vacuum of activities.
Yeah.
My son and my daughter, your children, they'll never have this thing that they clung to.
Yeah, you know, that, I get you.
You take bicycles. I loved my bicycle. I had my bicycle. I'd bring it inside. I'd clean it. I'd oil the chain. I'd work on it. I'd modify it. It was like my entire
books have been written about a boy and his bike. Yes.
Right. I was nuts about my bicycle, but it wasn't because I loved bicycles. It's because I had nothing else but the bicycles. My kids, like, hey, Specialized gave us a couple mountain bikes for free. Yeah. I heard you, Pops. Oh, they're in the garage. You want to go ride? Yeah, maybe. Maybe not. Tell the nanny to whip me up some grub. I'm going to play Fortnite. And that's it. It's like, it's too much. They'll never have thing.
I know.
Grew up like when in The Great Escape, when they would send Steve McQueen to the cooler, he had his baseball mitt and he had his baseball and he'd just go ka-chunk, gunk, cha-chunk, gunk. He'd just throw the ball, skip it off the floor and hit the wall, come back, ka-chunk, gunk. That's all I had.
Uh-huh.
That baseball mitt with Steve McQueen in the cooler was more important than any worldly possession. That's how I grew up.
I got you. Makes sense.
My kids, they got locked in a Toys R Us with a buffet, with a hometown buffet in the back. And that's what's their favorite toy? I don't know. What aisle? I'll narrow it down to even aisles.
You're absolutely right. They're oversaturated,
right,
is the bottom line. I like you conflating yourself with Steve McQueen, and it's not completely off base, too. You both love to race cars.
That's
you're both
right.
Great coxmen of your era, of your respective
that's
eras.
Right. That's right.
But yes, I do always feel obliged to point out when anybody invokes the movie The Great Escape. How great an escape was it? They all got killed.
Not that great.
All right, here we go. Give us the Wide World of Sports.
spanning the globe to
soaring
a constant variety of sport. The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. The human drama of athletic competition. This is ABC's Wide World of Sports.
All right, great, good.
Good.
Good, but you know what?
Solid.
It is definitely great, but it does not do to me what the Monday Night Football theme does.
I agree with you and me and us. Can you name the most obscure Wide World of Sports sport? They would cover everything back in the day.
Well, it was weird. And again, talk about you only had so many choices, so you were stuck whatever sport they were doing. You're like, well, it's this or a Tarzan movie. You know, mm-hmm. That was pretty much your options on a
right.
on a Saturday. And so you would sit and watch this. I always thought the barrel jumping was a bizarre one when on skates.
Right.
They'd skate and you see how many barrels they could jump over.
Sort of bizarrely compelling. Like
yes.
They would add a barrel. And
because we were in Knievel era right. at that point. We loved watching people try to jump over stuff.
Yeah. They'd have like cliff diving from Acapulco.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Again, these like sort of non-sports.
Yeah, how do you win at that? You don't die. That was basically the rule.
They had, Gary, I'm pretty sure.
I'm looking at a list right now.
This is the most obscure. They had something called Slide for Life.
Oh, this sounds good.
Slide for Life was you got next to like a gasser or funny car or, you know, a dragster type vehicle, like a quarter mile type vehicle or a truck that was souped up with big rear tires or whatever. And they would take off down like a quarter mile drag strip and you'd. And whatever, everything had to involve leathers, like black leathers back then. It was all Evel Knievel driven. Mm. You'd lower yourself out of the back of the truck and slide like on a metal pan on
no
a
way.
Pie tin on your ass and see how far you would slide.
Oh, man. We got to bring this back and let Ray do it. Let's just have Ray do it.
It's kind of weird what Evel Knievel did. It's like after World War II. Every evil person had a little German accent to them and a monocle and stuff. Like we went, okay, we get it. Here's our template for bad, you know, Hitler, the Gestapo, that'll last for 25 years like that.
Right.
Evel Knievel, he put on the leathers and did the whole Daredevil thing and everything became a sort of version
of
that.
All you need to look to for proof of that is Elvis became basically Evel Knievel in his outfits. That's what he did. He was like, that's working for that. It was working for that evil guy jumping over stuff. You know, I'm going to do it. That was ridiculous if you think back on that one. That's the equivalent of, I guess, like, who would that be the same person? It would be like Michael Stipe coming out on the stage. I got a new look, everybody. I wear a cape now and a onesie.
I guess. I wonder if the guy who did repairs on his white leathers was secretly happy when he crashed. You know what I mean? Because that's just more money coming through the door. You know, you got to get the blood out. You got to mend it. You got to sew it. Maybe you need a whole new set of leathers. You know, whereas if he lands clean, he just uses the exact same set of
now
leathers.
Now it's his lucky onesie. He's not going to change out of that one. Yeah, he had the full array. He had the navy one. He had the white one.
Did you find Slide for Life?
No, not yet. We're still looking. There's apparently a military obstacle course that is called that as well, and that's what we're getting a lot of.
Oh. Well, this would be, the Wide World of Sports.
Any idea what year? I've got it broken down here by year.
Let's say it'd be like 77 or
2013.
70, 75 or something like that. I mean, it was like early.
Cool. I'll keep it.
It's like 75. I don't know, Wide World of Sports, drag, whatever.
I just thought of something, Ace, because that reminds me of those discs, that the metal discs that were one option. You had when I was growing up in hilly Pittsburgh, snowy Pittsburgh in the winter, we obviously spent a great deal of time sled riding, and you had a few toboggan was old school, and then you had this metal disc you could sit in, and it would kind of like spin you as you went down, and then there were like more plasticky kind of conventional ones. I'm just now thinking, have you ever gone sled riding?
When I was at some point, I got to the snow with like other people's families, and the disc one or the trash can lid styles, like the worst.
Yeah.
It was a Captain America shield because it had no rudder. You'd be going down forward, and then you'd start pivoting.
If it spun you around, it was terrifying. You had no idea what was coming. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. That's that for this week. But you know what? It kind of lends itself here, what I'm going to talk to you about, because if you're riding a Captain America style sled, you want something good, Under Armour, performing gear to make you better. New collection, Vanish, engineered to be breathable, lightweight, quick drying, won't cling or chafe. Sounds perfect for sled riding. Plus fitness apps to help you put that gear to the test, like MyFitnessPal and MapMyRun. MapMyRun can track runs, log workouts, and sync with Under Armour's connected running shoes or other devices like Samsung's smartwatch. Sign up for premium and unlock more tools to help you achieve your goals. Download MapMyRun and MyFitnessPal in the Apple app or Google Play Store for a free 30-day trial for new users, and take control of your goals today with Under Armour. A delightful week, at least for me, Ace. I hope you enjoyed this walk down memory lane musically on Good Sports. We'll be back with more hot sports talk for you next week. In the meantime, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, Podcast One Sports, out. Good Sports!